Bishop James Conley offers his homily at the 2019 Ordination of Priest. This podcast is brought to you by the Diocese of Lincoln.
Bishop Ruskowitz, Bishop Fenn, my brother priests, deacons, especially our newly ordained deacons, consecrated religious men and women, beloved seminarians, friends in Christ, and especially dear parents and family members of our ordinandi, and my dear sons and brothers in Christ, Tony, Andrew, Alan, and Carson. Welcome, one and all, to the Cathedral of the Risen Christ. And I apologize for all those who have to stand around the perimeter, but it's a great sight to see this cathedral absolutely filled. So I hope hope you can get a little bit of rest during this long ceremony. But the homily is very short, I can assure you. As the Lord proclaims in today's gospel, the hour has now come. This hour, for you four, is the culmination of your life's work and prayer. From the first moment of your existence, God has called you for this purpose. He has called you to share in the priesthood of His Son, Jesus Christ. In the words of the prophet Jeremiah from our first reading, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you." When Christ speaks of His hour, it is filled with deep meaning. It is, as we read in Luke's gospel, the hour of His self-sacrifice as a ransom for many. Christ's hour is the consignment of the new covenant in my blood. This is now the hour of your own self-consignment into that same mystery, the mystery of the sacrificial and redeeming love of our Savior, Jesus Christ. After the laying on of hands and the prayer of ordination, I will anoint your hands with the sacred chrism oil. This holy anointing will consecrate your hands for the celebration of the sacraments, particularly the celebration of the Holy Eucharist, the body and blood of the Lord. For it is within the context of the institution of the sacrament of the Holy Eucharist on the night of the Lord's Supper that Jesus also instituted the sacrament of holy orders, as we have just heard in our gospel from St. Luke. In the Old Covenant, three categories of persons underwent anointing: priests, prophets, and kings. All of this was to prefigure the new covenant, serving to foretell what would be fulfilled in God's eternal plan to send a Messiah, the Christ, the anointed Son of God, in whom is the source of all the world's anointing, past, present, and future. My dear brothers, as priests of Jesus Christ, you will exercise the prophetic role of preaching the message of truth and salvation to a world that is in dire need of hope. In our first reading, Jeremiah tells us that the words of the prophet, the words that the prophet speaks, are not his own. They are commanded, underwritten, and empowered by God. He can be fearless in speaking them, for there comes with this the divine assurance, "I am with you." For this reason, too, the prophet's mouth is consecrated by God's touch. His own littleness and defects of speaking are also anointed by God. The truth which the priest proclaims must completely claim the priest as well. The preacher doesn't just inform others. He imparts the very form of holiness of the sinner, and by this new form transforms the other. You must be Christ's uncompromising witnesses to the world. And to that end, St. Paul reminds us, quote, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that you may prove what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." Our second reading, taken from the letter to the Hebrews, describes the office of priest as one who mediates between the people and God. Quote, "To act on behalf of men in relation to God." End of quote. In this sense, too, the priest is anointed by God that you can deal gently with the faithful entrusted to your care, because you are also beset with weakness. For, quote, "Because of this, he is bound to offer sacrifice for his own sins as well as for those of the people. We do not rely on ourselves, but on the Lord, on his strength, on his power, and on his love." In your interviews in the Southern Nebraska Register, you all said that what you look forward to most in becoming a priest is celebrating the sacraments so as to facilitate for the people you serve that anointed encounter with the risen Lord. But brothers, this can only be achieved through a deep commitment to personal prayer on your part, a living encounter, a daily encounter with the Lord yourselves. In this ceremony, you will be asked if you are resolved to implore with me God's mercy upon the people entrusted to your care by observing the command to pray without ceasing. Your yes will commit you to a mission of mediation. If the priest does not come to know Christ in the depths of his own heart, he can hardly hope to love him in the least of his brethren. The efficacy of your priestly prayer will depend on the fact that through holy orders, you have been crucified with Christ and thus can say with St. Paul, "It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me." Finally, our gospel for the ordination mass recounts the priest's mandate to govern. On you is conferred a kingdom. For Christ takes his place in history with his priests. Here again is that divine assurance, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not afraid." In other words, do not rely on yourselves, but rely on the Lord alone. You have been anointed to bear fruit, the abundant fruit of the kingdom. In like manner, as the Father conferred it on Christ, does he confer it on you? You will exercise your priestly office not in a ceremonial manner, as something you might put on and take off again like a vestment. You are configured forever as an offering, an oblation. You put on Jesus Christ the King, the royal high priest. "As my Father appointed a kingdom for me, so do I appoint for you, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom." But this kingdom, Christ warns, suffers violence, for the spirit of the world opposes it. The priest is engaged in no simple combat. We are not contending against flesh and blood, but the world rulers of this present darkness, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness. Christ sends us into the world to convert the world, not to be converted by it. As you lay aside the world for the sake of the gospel, Be prepared for the world to reject you as well. But be of good cheer, says the Lord, for I have overcome the world. The recognition that the source of our love is not within ourselves, but is in fact in God, who casts out all fear. Perfect love casts out fear. And so, dear brothers and sons, what a treasure is our Catholic priesthood. However, few institutions today find themselves under more scrutiny than this centerpiece of our religion. We live in a time when nothing less than heroic witness will be sufficient to proclaim the authenticity of the gospel. In the words of St. Paul, I urge you then to give no thought of what lies behind, but to push on to what lies ahead. Reappraise whatever you used to consider as gain, now as loss in the light of Christ. Accept in your inmost being the indelible imprint of this sacramental character and this holy anointing, that you may be completely configured in the image of Christ, priest, prophet, and king, the sole high priest and mediator of the new covenant in his precious blood. And may Mary, the mother of priests and the mother of the church, always remain close to your heart. And may she take you by the hand and lead you deeper and deeper and deeper into the love of her Son. Amen.